Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End. Yeah, a midweek podcast. We haven't done one of those for a long time. But as most of the From the Rookery End team were on their way up to Sheffield Wednesday for what ended up being a 0-0 draw, we thought we'd get you used to listening to From the Rookery End in the middle of the week, because we have got some ideas going on. The first one is out next midweek. And if you like your numbers, you might like this one. But more of that, of course, next week after the Cardiff City at Home podcast. So Mike, Colin, Mike's brother Andy and Ollie Wicken went their way up the M1 to Hillsborough, and we joined them for their evening at Hillsborough. You'll hear them throughout the game, throughout the evening, where I think they've just had their dinner and they've seen the Watford team. With three changes since Saturday, Hamer, Livermore and Dele Bashiru back in, and Pollock stays in the starting 11 for his first league start of the season. So, how are the boys feeling before the game?
It's a wet, dark, cold evening, so where else would we be than in Sheffield? Colin, do you know why Sheffield Wednesday are called Sheffield Wednesday? I'll tell you.
It's because they played on Wednesday.
No, it's because they play in Sheffield. Now then.
Hey!
So we've just seen the team news. We've just had a delightful curry. We've had a good journey up, thanks to Mr. Ollie Wicken, who's proved to be a most agreeable...
Chauffeur.
Well, your words, not mine. You've seen the team news. Cole, how are you feeling?
Yeah, good to see Livermore back in the team after the weekend. I think it's all, you know... Ollie said on the way up, you know, I watch this team play and immediately I think, oh, I want to watch them again. And I'm feeling exactly the same way. So enjoyed the first half against Southampton. Shame we couldn't hold on. But I'm already thinking about, oh, Wednesday, going to Sheffield to watch this lot again, because they've been entertaining us. They're playing good progressive football. Funny enough, your brother's just put, not to encourage betting or anything, but we put a bet builder on. I think this sums up our view. We've got both teams to score, over 2.5 goals, Watford to get more corners and more bookings. So that feels like a current Watford performance, and I'm looking forward to it.
Ollie, we spoke on the way up here about what our expectations were. Now we're out of the car. What are your expectations as we stride towards Hillsborough?
Well, I'm worried that my expectations are about the performance now rather than the result. Because as Colin just said, I just really like watching this team. So are we due a performance where we don't do quite as well as we've been doing in recent times? I've been lucky with my away games over the last few months where we just keep playing really well and getting results. I think I've seen 4 or 5 away wins since October, which is glorious. And I just have to do that thing that we've been doing all this season since last season's disasters, of just trying to keep a lid on your expectations and don't expect too much. Just enjoy it for what it is. Go to the game, enjoy it, and see how it works out. And hopefully you'll want to be going back next week.
For you, any surprises in that team lineup? How do you think they're going to be set up? Usual formation for Watford this evening?
It looks it. It's always hard to work out, particularly the way they present it on social media. What they do is they put a team out and you can never quite tell whether it's to do with how much, whether someone's in the red zone, whether someone's can only play 60 minutes. It looks a strong team to me. It's probably the team that we were choosing in the car on the way up. We weren't sure about the centre forward. But yeah, I trust in Val.
Trust in Val. Well, we've got no choice. But, Cole, one of the other conversations we had on the way up was the centre-back pairing. We knew Wesley Hurt was going to get the nod, but probably not just us talking about it this week, but questioning who is going to partner him. Matty Pollock's got the nod. That surprise you? Does that worry you?
Well, not after Saturday. I thought he put in a really good performance. He expressed his desire to play more football, and that led him to putting in a transfer request. Aberdeen apparently were quite keen on taking him back, maybe on a permanent basis, but we've only got the 4 centre-backs, and that's the minimum requirement, I think, in the Championship. And so the club haven't allowed that to happen. Give him his chance against Southampton. Puts in probably the most consistent performance I've seen him in a Watford shirt. I wasn't sort of fearful when he was on the ball, or his positioning was good. He's got the nod probably over Porteous, and Porteous is recent performances, he's got, you know, he's made some mistakes, some errors. So maybe this is Pollock's chance. And as we know in football, once you get possession of the shirt, if you can keep playing well, you'll keep it, like Hamer has. In NOL League games, it's Hamer now, not Backman. And he took his chance, and I think maybe Pollock can do the same. So good luck to him. I hope he does well tonight.
I think it's another example, isn't it, of Valerian Ismail's really, really good man management, in terms of he's given him the nod for the game against Southampton at the weekend. He's played pretty much perfectly, really, in terms of a centre-back performance. Didn't really make any mistakes, looked very, very solid. And as such, he's been rewarded. And I think Val's taken into account the whole situation around his Watford career so far. He's obviously shown enough in training in terms of attitude, and he's shown enough now in terms of performance in, albeit only one game. And I think what will be really interesting tonight, we drove past Hillsborough to park up, and it really is a big old imposing stadium. Sheffield Wednesday are struggling, of course, but there'll be a decent crowd in tonight, under lights. It'll be noisy in there, and it will be probably like nothing really that Matty Pollock's experienced.
I think
before.
That's right. I'll make you right about Val, because this is not the first time he's done this. I mean, Shakhtar got minutes, and then he got a few more minutes, and then a few more minutes, and people are saying, when's he going to get a start? When's he going to get a start? Obviously, Kayembe goes off to AFCON, but he's got an injury, so there's a spot comes available. And now Shakhtar is in the starting lineup, and has been for the last few weeks, because he learned to trust him in training, then learned to trust him in a game, and now he's saying, OK, I trust you, on you go. You can either play in central, like he did at the weekend, or he's going to play out wide today. And the other one, which is, I think, a crucial one for the club generally, is that he was able to bring Tom Delibashiru back into the fold, asking him to do something he probably didn't really want to do, play it right back. Then he brought him into the middle, and he's obviously put an arm around him, got him focused on his football, got him focused on playing, training, being in a group, and we're the beneficiaries. The club is a beneficiary, the fans are, because Tom Delibashiru is definitely a player who can improve, and we've seen improvements in so many players, Lewis, Andrews, and this is the influence of a coach who's solid, clear, gives out clear instructions, puts confidence into players and trusts them, and as a result they start to perform for him and they start to improve, they listen to what he says and so on. And we've been on a good run since October, so I think the signs are pretty good.
There we have it then. We've got an upbeat Cole, an upbeat Ollie. I'm not going to ask my brother, because he'll just bring the mood down a little bit. It's about half an hour before kickoff. We're walking to Hillsborough. The crowd is really starting to build around us now. It's got that sort of inexplicable sort of feel of a... Not inexplicable, because it is match night, but that sort of feel of something's about to happen. We're looking forward to it. Let's see what happens. Cover your horns. So inside Hillsborough, the weather got increasingly bad the closer we got to the ground. Not sure if that was an omen or not. But Andy, this is our first time inside this grand old stadium. What are your first thoughts on Hillsborough?
Quite empty.
Yeah, it is. One of the first things you notice is it's massive. Colin sat next to him. He said the pitch looks absolutely massive. Everything about it is big, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good old-fashioned stadium. It's one that we haven't ticked off the list, so I was looking forward to coming. It's good to be here. But, yeah, we'll see what it entails on the pitch. The pitch doesn't look great, actually.
Yeah, the pitch... What we've noticed as you watch more and more football is how good the pitch at Vicarage Road actually is. And this is one that's certainly showing signs of wear and tear, and I guess the crowd that's in so far is showing signs of wear and tear as well. Not much in the way of a home crowd. The away end filling up slowly but surely. I think 750, 800 or so Watford fans expected in this. We're in the top tier here at Hillsborough this evening. The team pretty much as we expected. Big night really this for Watford, because it gives us an opportunity to build on that brilliant away form. I'm looking forward to seeing how we stand up to the test that Sheffield Wednesday will provide, because they are, of course, absolutely desperate for the points at the wrong end of the table. The new manager, well, not so new anymore, but he's got them going a little bit. And this is going to be a huge, huge challenge for Watford. I mentioned the crowd, it's not massive, but it will be noisy. The atmosphere will certainly ratchet up if Sheffield Wednesday start the game well. So a big opportunity for Watford, but also really interested just to see how they cope with what is a different challenge, certainly to what they've faced against Southampton on Sunday and the teams we played away previously, with the exception of QPR, I guess. As you can probably hear, atmosphere building up nicely. Minutes away here at Hillsborough from Sheffield Wednesday against Watford. Players are out. 1 minute to kick off. Sheffield Wednesday, Watford. Come on, you horns! 15 minutes gone, and a really, really bright start for Watford, making a good progress down the right, straight from the kickoff, really. Really putting Sheffield Wednesday on the back foot, going for the jugular, if you like, right from the start. But the problem Watford have had in this game so far has been the problem they've had in the season as a whole, really. They've got into really, really good positions in the attacking third and then put poor balls in. And as Sheffield Wednesday have seen two or three sort of naff crosses come in, including a couple of corner for Watford, they've sort of grown in confidence. And after a really energetic start from Watford, they've sort of... There's a bit of lethargy seems to have overtaken them, and Sheffield Wednesday really coming into the game, forcing a corner of their own. Ben Hamer having to dive away to his right. Far too easy for Sheffield Wednesday, and all of a sudden just not clicking for Watford. So after a very, very bright opening couple of minutes, it's got a little bit flat, and they're going to need to rouse themselves here. But yeah, 16, 17 minutes gone. Sheffield Wednesday 0, Watford 0. They need to get a foothold in this. Half an hour gone. Watford haven't really woken up at all. Far too easy for Sheffield Wednesday as they progress forward. Watford just not able to get a grip of this at all, really. Ryan Andrews has got through a couple of times on the right-hand side and lost his footing. Mateus Martins has failed to beat his man, then fouled in retaliation, picked up a yellow card. Sheffield Wednesday broken. Now they've got a free kick in Barry Bannon territory. Probably centre of goal, just a yard outside the penalty box. And Sheffield Wednesday have been on top so far. No guesses for who's going to hit this. It's going to be Barry Bannon. Steps up, stopped in the wall by Tom Delibashiru. Watford have got away with one there, but they do really need to wake up. Moments ago, Watford missed what's probably the best... chance of the match, certainly from the best move of the match. Ismail Kone did well on the left-hand side to muscle his way into possession, broke down the left, played it into Bio, who beat the keeper and then played it across to Martins, who, instead of taking a touch and steadying himself, tried to take it first time from the angle and put it miles wide. So that shows what Watford can do, Colin, on the break. What do you make of this performance so far? Bit lacklustre, a bit weird, isn't it?
It's sort of patchy. Like when we get into transition, when we get the ball off them and get forward, suddenly we come alive and we look fast and pacey, and players are bolting forward. But at the moment, we just can't find that perfect pass. If Bio's pass to Martins was a better pass, he'd have just side-footed it in, but it was just beyond him. Yes. Maybe he could have taken it on himself, but he chose to pass. Probably the right decision, but not a great pass, too wide. And missed it.
Martins on his backside and the ball in the cheap seats. I think we're seeing again what this Watford team has struggled with so much this season is that bit of quality up top, isn't it, in that final third. The decision making and just that clinical cutting edges is missing, as I run through my handy handbook of cliches. Cole, we're approaching half time. As we've said throughout this half, Watford have looked a bit in and out. What are you thinking if you're Valerian Ismail, in terms of team talk and any potential changes?
I think just back yourself more. Here goes Martins at the right hand side. He's been fouled again. That lad's going to get booked. I'm not sure he hasn't been booked already, but they're targeting Martins. The problem for us is that we've got Livermore in midfield and Hoot at the back, and they are in charge of the defence and the midfield, but there is nobody in charge of the final third. That's really our problem. We haven't got a player up there who says, this is what we're going to do. There are three of them up there. They try and pass it. They try and interchange it. There's no one in charge, no one leading that department in our team, and that's why we're not scoring.
What about, they've gone for Bio and the added mobility on this big pitch here at Hillsborough, of course.
More about that later.
Is there something to be said for you get more structure, certainly more static structure when it comes to Rajovic, but if he's... Could the message to Rajovic be, get yourself into the middle, let one of our wide guys get down there and get the ball in? Would you think that is a simplistic answer?
Yeah, but header over the... Oh, no, not over the bars. Come back into the box. It's all rumble-tumble in there. And Wednesday come away with it. But I think, yeah, that's a plan B. We've got Martins on the right side of the pitch so he can cross it. We've got Chakvetadze on the left who can cross it with his either foot. So... definitely it's a possibility, but you've got to get Rajovic onto that penalty spot and get the crosses in. But that is a plan to get a goal. At the moment we seem to be trying to hit them on transition, push the ball through, run onto it and score, and so far we've had opportunities to do that, but we haven't taken them.
Getting a bit fractious out there, the referee calling Jake Livermore and someone else, one of the Sheffield Wednesday players together, bit of a talking to. Sheffield Wednesday bench looking a little bit animated, and that probably tells you all you need to know about the game, really. Not much in the way of quality, and yeah, it's going to be who can take their chances, who can just stamp their authority on it. There is the feeling that if Watford score, that this Sheffield Wednesday side will struggle in terms of confidence. They do look, when Watford get going, they do look to be got atable, but also you feel like if Sheffield Wednesday score, then Watford are going to struggle to bounce back because they have looked a little bit fragile. Anyway, on we go as we creep towards half time. Here at Hillsborough, it's 0-0. Sheffield Wednesday continuing to make easy progress into the final third. Watford probably lucky not to be behind. Ball coming back off the upright, fiercely hit shot. Hamer beaten to his right, back off the upright, and he manages to scramble to make sure that the rebound doesn't go in. But. Watford hanging on a little bit here. They feel like they're just having a little bit of an off day. Another free kick given there. And as I said earlier, it's just sort of fractious, scrappy. Neither team really able to hit their straps, hit their stride. It's not really the sort of Watford that we've been enjoying so far this evening, but plenty of time to go yet. Hanging in there. Sixty-eight minutes gone. Sheffield Wednesday fans just celebrating. They thought they had the opener. Andy, could you see what happened there?
No, never clue.
Cole, could you see what happened down there at the other end there?
Well, I saw the referee look over at the linesman. Linesman went no, so they didn't give it. But it was fans behind the goal convinced it had gone in. That spread around the ground, so it was like, oh, well, they've scored, but they haven't.
So about 20 minutes to go, Cole. We haven't really seen the improvements that we'd hoped for in this second half, have we? Yeah, Espria's come on for Martins, but hasn't really had an impact.
No, not so far. Although he did quite well down here, right on the byline to win the ball back and get a cross in. But yeah, we're close, but we're not close enough. And I don't know, it's edgy now. Edgy.
Yeah, it's sort of continued to be a pretty, well, disappointing performance from Watford, really. Strangely flat, the entire atmosphere. Here at Hillsborough probably tells you everything you need to know about Sheffield Wednesday's predicament. Their fans are nervous. They're probably, well, they're just desperate for the points. And it feels like it's going to be a game where a mistake might cost it. It's going to be cost someone. It's going to be a 1-0, I think, this. Very, very little quality. Who can hold their nerve? Let's wait and see. A double substitution for Watford here. Bio coming off, Rajovic coming on. Be interesting to see how that works out. And Jamal Lewis coming off for Ken Semmer. I think they needed to change something because it was just Watford had just in a rut, really. Semmer dropping in at left back there. Rajovic obviously straight swap up front, but something had to change. It hasn't been dropping for Watford. They've looked unsure of themselves all night. The pitch isn't great. I don't know how much that is playing into it, but lots and lots of work for Watford to do here with, what, 15 minutes to go. Valerian Ismail's rolled the dice to a degree. Let's see what happens. Barry Bannon has got another free kick in a very, very dangerous position. Wasted. But Watford really, really are just massively out of sorts here, just sleepwalking their way through this one. And very, very nervous inside the ground, very, very quiet. It's continued to have sort of this eerie atmosphere, really, all night inside this big old famous stadium. 10 minutes or so to go. Hard to know which way this one's going to go, but it ain't pretty. Come on, you horns. Just a few minutes to go. Matty Pollock, who's actually done all right this evening, one of the few players out there not to look too out of sorts. He's been taken off and replaced by Ryan Portis with a couple of minutes to go, which we all know is plenty of time for our beloved Scott to cause absolute carnage. But very much a substitution and necessity there. Pollock had been booked about 10 minutes ago, and then the Sheffield Wednesday fans absolutely screaming for a second yellow for a pretty innocuous foul, really. But Val obviously thinking it's worth taking him off just in terms of protecting him. I think that probably makes sense. Couple of minutes to go here. To be honest, there's a couple of minutes to go. It doesn't even really feel like the game ever started. 0-0. Well, we were just saying how it's got to be worth a roll of the dice in terms of Emmanuel Dennis. Only a couple of minutes to go, last knock into the game here. No magic really from Watford. Chatford Tansy probably a little bit wasted this evening out there on the right hand side, hasn't been able to get going at all. So here we go, a couple of minutes. Can Emmanuel Dennis conjure up a little bit of magic? Yet again, Ben Hamer getting Watford out of the mire. Left-footed drive from 20 yards out. Looked like it was arcing into the top right-hand corner. And like a flying salmon, Ben Hamer dived to his left as ever to put it over the bar. It's a Sheffield Wednesday corner. It's Sheffield Wednesday that's building up ahead of steam. There's 5 minutes added time to go as we just tick over the 90. It's a corner. Stay with me for the corner. Let's see what happens. It's another super save from Hamer, who's one of the few Watford players who can come out with any credit. Corner went in, cleared by Watford. And as is so often been the case tonight, Watford just simply unable to hang on to possession. Ball hasn't dropped for them at all. They've found it hard to pick passes. Someone seems just muddled and unsure. It has been a real, real slog this for Watford. Rajovic coming on hasn't made much difference. In fact, probably the opposite in terms of the desired effect. Just very, very, just no questions asked really of this Sheffield Wednesday defence in the second half. Hugely disappointing. Emmanuel Dennis there with a clattering foul, just a break up play. Probably a decent foul actually that. But yeah. Sometimes there's adverts for the championship. You go, oh, that was a really good advert for the championship, that, but end-to-end game. Well, this has been an advert for the championship, but an advert of its sort of less impressive qualities. It's still Sheffield Wednesday 0, Watford 0. Emmanuel Dennis on the ball for the first time. Rajovic, and nothing's come of it. Livermore need to hit that a little bit liver less because it's gone miles over the bar. Sums it up from a Watford point of view, certainly. sailing over the bar, right foot swinger from Livermore. No chance of his recreating his Loftus Road heroics. Wednesday nil, Watford nil.
Can you win it? Come on, Watford!
Full time here at Hillsborough. It's ended. Sheffield Wednesday nil, Watford nil. We said on the way up, Watford were due a tough performance. They've been turning in decent performances away from home. We were thinking there might be a not so good one in the pipeline. Well, it materialised. Not good at all, but we'll take the point on the road. Let's get it out of our system, move on. We've done battle with Sheffield Wednesday, now to do battle with the M1. On we go. So, back in the car. The car is pointing south, safely banked to point. And as I walked away from Hillsborough, I actually sort of developed a bit of a spring in my step because I felt like we got away with one there. The game was poor. Watford were poor, never really got going. And it felt like if anyone was going to win it, it was going to be Sheffield Wednesday. Their need greater, really. And it just felt at times like our decent away run that's been so hard earned was sort of slipping away a little bit, and we were just going to just throw it away. We spoke on the way up about how the away form has been pretty good, the away performances have been good, and were we due a dud? Well, we got that dud, but that dud gave us a point and a clean sheet, which is the first one in over 2 months. Rotherham at home, the last clean sheet. So some positives, and we'll carry on a positive note, and we'll try and get some man of the match performances. We've got Andy and Colin in the car while Ollie navigates us safely home. Andy, I'll start with you because I'm lazy and you're closest. Who's your man of the match from that performance?
Barry Bannon.
Super. Look, really, really good to have you along, Andy. Thank you for that. I mean, in all fairness to Barry Bannon, he did play well. And if there was going to be a man of the match, as announced by the sponsor, which was presumably some local tyre or insurance company, it would have gone to Barry Bannon. I'll give you a bit of thinking time, Andy, as I would go to Cole in the front here.
I'll tell you why I said that. Just because I think he provided Sheffield Wednesday with everything that we were lacking today. He was industrious. He was playing some decent balls, shots on target, free kicks, busy throughout, and looked at it. So, and I think that's exactly what we were lacking in the middle of the park. So, and that's why I say that.
Andy Parkin, the founding member of the Barry Bannon fan club. Thanks very much for joining us, Cole. Who's your man of the match?
Well, I think you're going to have to go with Big Ben Hamer.
Yeah,
he made four crucial saves. Two in the first half, two in the second half. One, the first one, I think was from Bannon, actually. And up into the top right-hand corner, and I thought, well, that's in. And he managed to get to it and knock it over. The second one was, I mean, talk about our goal being sort of having a force field around it or something. Because another shot came in, I thought, well, that's in. Hit the post, bounced back out to the attacker, who gets his head on it, forceful header downwards, and somehow Hamer gets his hands under the ball and drops on it. Second half, another shot from distance, you think, from one of their subs, and you think, well, that's in. But no, he manages to claw it away again. Very, very good save in front of the home supporters. And then the last one is, we couldn't really see it, but it was a scramble, and then all the supporters went up as if the goal had been scored, but it clearly hadn't crossed the line, and he was lying on top of the ball. So it's been a fairly constant in the last few weeks that Ben Hamer has performed really, really well. You could argue those are saves that, you know, he's there to save them and he should save them, but I'm not sure. Those seemed a little bit extra special to me, so I'm going with Ben Hamer for man of the match.
Yeah, fair shout. I think you're right to point out, and I think I've certainly fell into the trap of sort of saying that Dan Backman, when he was playing, made some good stops and good saves, and they obviously catch the eye, but ultimately that is what goalkeeper's there to do. I think Ben Hamer's performances, more often than not, have been above that. And I think what we saw tonight was his brave the style of play, jumping on the ball, quick to react, snuffing out any danger. And he looks, for someone who was signed ultimately to be cover, to be third choice goalkeeper at the football club, I think he has propelled himself into looking... There's no way that anyone else, barring injury or suspension, he's going to get back in. I think from a Watford point of view, there's going to be no disagreement, Cole, in this car about him being man of the match. And I did just want to talk about someone who played in front of him. We spoke about him on the way up here, whether he'd get his shot. Matty Pollock, he came in and... Yeah, he was subbed off. I think that was, we spoke about it during the game, pragmatic from Val, sensible. The crowd was getting noisy. He could see the ref potentially being pressured into a yellow card, and then you've lost him and you kind of lose that momentum that he's built up with that good performance at Southampton. He did all right tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he was solid. You know, I don't think he did anything wrong. Really solid at the back. They look like a good partnership. And yeah, no complaints from me. I think Andrew's moving up the pitch, as he does so much, sort of left him exposed a little bit in the second half, which sort of led to that yellow card and probably eventually him being subbed off, because they were breaking down that left wing, and he was coming across to cover. So, but yeah, no complaints. He seems to be cementing a starting berth, I think.
Yeah, so good performance at home to Southampton, a decent side, backed up with a clean sheet, which he played a significant part in. Andy mentioned it there, Cole. Ryan Andrews bombing on and getting down. It really just wasn't Watford's night tonight, was it? No one was able to get the ball under control. And I think Ryan Andrews has suffered with that a little bit, his sort of ball control and retention. I think potentially he moves at such pace and speed that it could be an issue. He's still a little bit raw. But in terms of him and his positioning and how it affects the balance of Watford, Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's clearly tactical, because Lewis isn't doing it on the other side to the same extent. So there were times when Andrews was standing on the halfway line when they've got the ball. So the idea being that we win the ball and then you've got him and Martins up out there, far up the pitch. You put the ball into space in front of them and they can run on and overload their fullback. And so it's clearly a tactical choice to put Andrews on the halfway line. He hasn't decided just to do it himself, because otherwise he'd have a flea in his ear. So, and the problem then with ball control is that he's very often receiving a ball at full sprint and a high crossfield ball, which is coming out of the clouds and down onto his feet. And there were a couple of times when he trapped it and then stood on it and fell over, yeah, which is not fun to watch, and it's humiliating for him. But you're asking a player to collect these high crossfield balls at full sprint, control them, and then move into dangerous areas. And that is difficult to do for any player. And on two or three occasions, he was able to trap it on his chest, or the ball was a slightly easier one for him to control. But it's a risk and reward thing, isn't it? You push your fullback up. So if you can get the ball to him, you'll get a nice overload. Martin's running into space, him running into space with him. But if you lose the ball, then suddenly, as Andy said, Pollock is slightly exposed. He might have to come across. Livermore drops back in between the two centre-backs. So there's obviously a plan there. The other thing that happened in the first 10 or 15 minutes was that, which I haven't seen this season, was that he'd obviously made a plan again for Hamer or for the centre-backs to play it long straight away. Yeah. To do a sort of Ian Bolton style, yeah, whack it, get it out wide either side, and then for them to run onto it. And normally we play it through the lines, try to keep it, build up pressure. But there was obviously a plan against Sheffield Wednesday, because maybe they have a high line. I didn't really notice it, but balls over the top again and again from Hamer's, out of Hamer's hands, or you know, Hoot and Pollock trying to knock it long. Livermore the same. So it's interesting how he adjusts tactics ever so slightly to either to catch the opposition out, or he thinks it's more suitable to play that way against this opposition as opposed to that opposition. And unfortunately, we got chances. We did break with transition, get the ball in behind, but we weren't able to find that clinical final ball and pop it in the net.
We weren't at all. The start of that game, where Watford started at a rapid pace, would really put Sheffield Wednesday under pressure early on in the game, but that never... Sheffield Wednesday managed to snuff that out after two or three duff crosses, and that was about it from Watford building up any sort of head of steam. Colin mentioned him there, Andy. Matthias Martins, I think Valerian Ismail, we often talk about his substitutions. It's one of the hot topics amongst Watford supporters when talking about Valerian Ismail, the timing of his substitutions. I think the ones later in the second half probably made sense. Dennis coming on for a final roll of the dice. Rajovic came on for Bioga, that wasn't working, and Ken Semmer came on for Lewis as well, which it nearly paid dividends, didn't it? Semmer got away as his his want from time to time, got down that left flank, won a couple of late corners, but nothing came of it. Mateus Martins was one of the sort of bright spark, isn't quite the right word, but he was one of the more eye-catching performers in yellow in that first half, whether it was him getting embroiled in flare-ups with the opposition, or beating a man, or committing a foul himself. He was on a yellow card at half-time. Are you surprised to see him go off, or would you have persevered?
Yeah, I was surprised to see him come off, to be honest. I think I'd have left him on, because there was definitely a lot of good coming from him, and he was making things happen. Also, he was ruffling feathers, you know. He was causing them.
Very good, ruffling the owl's feathers, like it.
Yeah. so, you know, you can see the fullback, people getting irritated by him. There was one instance where he sort of niggled at their player, foul wasn't given, and then Martin's got a foul, and then the guy got up and he was right back at him.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of thing that can work in your favour. So I would have stuck with him a little bit longer, because of the problems he was causing in an attacking sense, and also just, you know, have a word with him at half time, keep your cool a little bit, but keep irritating the opposition, because you don't know what comes from that. But he made the decision to take him off, rightly or wrongly, I'm not sure. We didn't create as much, I didn't feel, in the second half when he wasn't on the pitch.
No, we didn't get going in that second half at all, really. I don't think Yasser Espria had the desired effect. It's hard to explain quite what those games are like when nothing sticks, the ball isn't rolling properly, the passes aren't being hit true, and it felt like that wasn't really going to be one for Yasser. Everyone seemed to be struggling to get the ball under control. It was a bit unsatisfactory, really. Well, very unsatisfactory, really, from a quality point of view. And I do feel that Mateus Martins and Yasser Espria, we talk about them a lot, about being exciting players. Yasser Espria, especially in terms of his ceiling, what he might go on to do. But I do think, in terms of them beating a man, it doesn't actually happen that often, and that is quite disappointing and something that I think we need to be working on, and Valerian Ismail needs to be working on. Sometimes we take three passes to get the ball to where it could have gone in one, whether it's down the flanks or there's a ball through the middle. So plenty to be going on with there. There's what, I'm not sure what time the window closes on Thursday, but there's
11 p.m.
11 o'clock, so there's about 24 hours as we drive home. It'd be interesting to see what Watford can do in the transfer market, because what became clear again tonight is really we're operating without a striker of any real pedigree. Both Rajovic and Bayo are different in as much as their limitations, as opposed to different in terms of what they offer. It's very hard sometimes when things aren't going right to see how Watford are going to score a goal. Colin, do you think that from what he's seen, Ismail might be rethinking about how he deploys Emmanuel Dennis, if he can get him up and fit, whether he might consider playing him down the middle, or is he going to stick with those two options?
I think he should play down the middle. I mean, he's more skillful than either of the other two players, and we saw in the Premier League when he played, you know, there are times when he can receive the ball and make the goal for himself. He can beat a man, he's got dancing feet, he can be tricky, and he's confident, he likes to score and he likes to shoot and he likes to get in there amongst them. So for me, he's not wasted out wide, but the problem is that, you know, Rajovic came on again this evening after what, 70 minutes or something, and you know, he just looks like a Bambi on ice. You know, he just doesn't really offer us anything. He can't really hold the ball up, he doesn't pass it very well, they put men on him and he gets stuck and trapped with his back to goal, and he can't really, hasn't got it in the locker really to get out of those situations. Doesn't really jump very well for headers. You know, you sort of wonder what he offers us, and I know I've said this, but when he's in the 6-yard box, yeah, he's a big lump and he can stick it in, but you know, that's not how we are playing. So I think Dennis, once he's fit, and it'll be a while, you know, we'll have to be patient. He hasn't played since November. I don't think he's trained properly since November. So it's going to take him 2 or 3 weeks to get up to anything like his best. But I think he's the answer, and I think that's why we got him back, is to score goals. You know, he scored 9 goals in the Premier League in not a very good side with 6 assists. You know, those are the sort of numbers in the Premier League, you should be able to translate that into a Championship scenario, and he should be able to do that in half a season. So we'll see. But Bayo and Rajovic, you know, they huff and puff. Bayo, I think, gives everything and is technically better than Rajovic, but you know, he struggles when he sees the goal. He's not composed. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to do any business. I don't think anyone's leaving. I don't think anyone's coming in the next 24 hours. But I mean, I may be proved wrong. But the thing is, it was a poor game of football, and there's lots and lots of reasons why it was poor. There's a lot of head tennis, a lot of aimless booting it up in the air, knocking it, missing passes, going out for a throw-in. It was really kind of disjointed, technically not great from both teams, really, although Wednesday had moments in the game where they played nicely. But I do think that the pitch, which didn't look great, it looked very hard, like it had been rolled or something. There were muddy patches in it, and none of our players certainly seemed comfortable playing on that surface, and that may also have contributed to what was a scrappy, rather sort of disjointed game of football, which wasn't great to watch. But you know, you've got to take the positives, don't you? You go away from home, you keep a clean sheet, you get a point. It's a lousy performance, but you move on.
Yeah, I think transfer window-wise, I don't think anybody was playing for a move up there tonight, were they? I agree with Cole in regard to Dennis, but you know, we need to get some minutes in his legs, and then I think he said in an article with the Wilford Observer today that you know we'll know when he's back and ready, and it'll be interesting to see when that is, and then we can deploy him how we see fit, in possibly in different roles. But be interesting to see.
So as always, work to be done for Valerian Ismail and his Hornets charges. As Colin used the word lousy, I think that probably sums up the game. A fear for Sheffield Wednesday on that evidence. That's a game they should have won. They're in a relegation battle. Things look tough for them. If they can't win on a night like that, then things might continue to be tough. But for Watford, it's another point on the road. That unbeaten record stretches on away from home, a phrase that I didn't think I'd be saying in my lifetime, let alone this season. And we can look ahead to Cardiff. A point away is not to be sniffed at, especially when you don't play well. So we'll take those positives. Ben Hamer's played well. Matty Pollock is coming to the fore, which in a way is kind of like a new signing. There you go, Gino, doing a bit of spin for you there. But you take your home points. Sorry, you take your away points, and then hopefully we can kick on against Cardiff on Saturday. It'll be interesting looking ahead already to see what he does in less than a week now, away at Southampton for that replay. But that is in the future. On to Cardiff on Saturday. Thanks very much, Ollie.
You're welcome.
Cheers, Cole.
Thanks very much.
Well done, Andy. Barry Bannon's number one fan. I'm going to check you for BB tattoos.
Already got it.
We'll see you, you'll hear from us again after the Cardiff game on Saturday. Come on, you horns!